Let's turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, we're going to begin in chapter 1 and verse 1. Now we're reading verses 1 through 26. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll be reading from verse 1 in the whole chapter. And these are God's words. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, when they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where they abode with both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Al-Kadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied us with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Those are God's word. This is the second letter that Luke writes to Theophilus. The first was the Gospel of Luke. And now this book concerns not the gospel so much as the history of the church and its purpose to give us an understanding of what has happened or what happened in the early church during the time of the apostles. And through verse 5, we're reminded of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even his resurrection, his days on the earth after that, until he ascended up into glory, where he now sits as the King of Kings over all nations and peoples and creation. He is now the head and was made head there at the resurrection of the church. Through verse 11, Christ commissions the disciples with the Great Commission, verse 8, and the account of his ascension in verse 9 and following. And then, as Jesus promised, so upon his leaving them in the infant state of the church, he promises again here that he will pour forth the Holy Spirit and great power, so that the gospel would spread quickly and his kingdom on earth would grow to the ends of the earth, in line with in line with the Great Commission that was just given in verse 8. How are they going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth? Well, it's going to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the last part of the chapter is filling the office of which Judas Iscariot rebelled against, that he, in one sense, never took up officially as an apostle because he never witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and rather betrayed Christ and killed himself. And this is where we see Matthias is chosen by the Lord of the two who were qualified. And we see that essential aspect, verse 22, of being an apostle is that they had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And therefore, there are no apostles today. They've all died in the faith. But such apostles were sent out into the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all peoples, all the way to the ends of the earth. And this is all possible in the Spirit's power in Christ sitting on the throne. And still today, the Spirit works in power. And so we must pray more for more of the Spirit to work amongst us, knowing that He is able to do so. For Christ sits on the throne. And we must pray for His kingdom that it would grow in Satan's kingdom, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, what the Lord taught His disciples how to pray, that Satan's kingdom be destroyed. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank you for the apostles that you gave to your church. We're thankful for this book and the history of the early church. I pray that you would teach us many things through this book. And we're thankful for the ministry of the apostles, the doctrine that they taught, the word that we read from them, that they have carried along, having lived with, ministered with Jesus, your Son, and also being witness of the resurrection. In this book, we will see that one another apostle dies, that Paul will take up his spot. And we give you praise for Paul's ministry. And Father, we ask that you would show us your glory. You would show us the gospel. And that you would make us servants of you and carrying forth not merely to the ends of the earth, as the Great Commission was talking about, to Rome and Spain. But now to the end, that all nations, as you promised, all nations would come unto you in faith. We're thankful for you establishing the church so quickly and with great power, calling great sinners, murderers, haters of God to yourself, just as you continue to do today. Pray that you would use the many of them and us to serve you in your kingdom. We pray for those who have been visiting us recently. Pray for Shane's sister who professes faith. Now, Father, we pray that you would give her continual wisdom. Give her that grace that is saving grace in her heart. That she would know your Son, Jesus Christ, as her husband. Just as we love him, and that she would love him. And we're thankful that also Macy has been visiting us in the second time this morning. We pray for her soul. We do not know the state of her soul, but she is seeking to be part of your church. And so, Father, we pray that you would guide her, grant her wisdom, and let the devil not get a foothold. And she, in the seed that is sown, would not fall for her on the thorny ground or the rocky ground, but on the good soil. And that you would bring her to faith in Christ your Son, away from that paganism and the occults of magic and all these things of which she comes from. Bring her out of that to you, the living and true God, and worship you according to your word, even from her heart. We pray the same for Hezekiah, who is here amongst us this morning. We're thankful for the Staver family ministering to him today, and pray that you would bless them, especially as he has time with them, and that they would minister the gospel to him and call him to faith in Christ as they have opportunity. And may, Lord willing, maybe he'll return again to us and worship with us next Lord's Day and hear the gospel again. Pray that your Spirit would be sent and work in his heart. And pray for this congregation, that you would keep us from temptation, even as we worship you now. Keep us from error. And keep your word. Speak to us continually, and do not take your word from us, if it be your will. And do not judge us as we deserve, but humble us before your throne and grant us your grace. Show us mercy. Show us that long suffering and patience that we don't deserve, because you promised to show that covenant mercy to those who love you and keep your commandments. And so show it, Father. And Father, we pray that you would grow us, not only in faith, but in number. Again, we keep praying that you would work through us to bring about another church to be planted somewhere near here, because there are so many people who need to hear the gospel. And we ask for your help in this. You are the one who builds your church. You build the temple, your house. And so, Father, build it even through weak people as we are, as we seek to tell people of the gospel. We pray for our presbytery. We're thankful for the fellowship we have with other congregations, and thankful for John Moore, who has worshipped with us recently often, and we're thankful for him here this evening, and pray that you would bless him and grant him a love for you, a greater love for you, and for that congregation in Lawrence, that you would uphold them and grant them great success in the preaching and proclamation of the gospel there, and that many would come to faith there. for your glory. We pray for those congregations who need ministers in our presbytery, and so we pray again for them in Manhattan and Laramie and Houston and San Antonio, who needs a pastor, and pray that you would uphold those congregations. And Father, we thank you that in each of those locations, except for Houston, there is a continued minister worshiping amongst them, and who often preaches to them. We're thankful for that provision, and which is quite odd in most cases, and so we give you praise for that. And pray for our presbytery, even as we prepare in March to meet again and examine candidates for ministry. Pray that you'd be preparing those men even today as they sit under the preaching of your word. And Father, we ask that you would be with our denomination, that we would turn from sin and turn from any unwise and false way. And we would love you and follow you, preferring you over all those things of the world. Father, now as we continue worshiping you, we do pray, ask for your help. And be with those who are not well. Pray for those who are struggling in their souls, who are downcast. Pray that you would lift them up in their souls. You alone can do it. And Father, we ask that you would bless your people because of Christ. And since we are undeserving, we pray that you would receive us for Christ's sake. We pray in his name. Amen.